initiation, and also on the 10 offenses. And after that, we'll perform the fire yajna. All the initiates will sit for that, and everyone is encouraged to be here while this yajna is going on. There'll also be sankirtan yajna at the same time. And then we'll have kirtan after the yajna. Everyone can circumambulate the sacrificial fire, and then we'll serve prasad. So, welcome to everyone, and also welcome to His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. We are very fortunate to have you here with us. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Vikash Maharaj ki jai, Sumai, Manjali, the Brahma Sutra.
Shalom. Govinda Tasmat Bhavanti Vibhavanti Shanti Yamcha Govinda Mahi Purusha Bhagavadhyayi Yachakshuresha Savidasa Kadabrahanam Rata Samasa Suramurti Rashesha Teja Yasya Gnaya Brahmati Samvita Kala Chakra
such a manner that you don't show your back to Krishna. Sadhguru, 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 Sadvaitam
Sadhu
Bhutavam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Tirtham Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam. Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu,
Ask her,
Jaitan, Jaitan, Gopisha, Gopakanta, Radha Kanta, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrinda, Vishwari, Vishwara, Vahadu, Sute, Pranamami, Hari, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Well, if we just go on charging, then we won't need an initiation. Just chanting is enough. There's no need for initiation. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, just go on chanting. But the problem is that we don't go on chanting. And when we chant, we also make offenses. So we require initiation. We're not pure devotees. Chanting can be done anywhere, anytime. Can be, should be, must be done in all times, places, and circumstances. Actually, when there's Shravan is going on, then that is a time when one does not formally chant the holy names, but chanting is going on. Shravan necessitates that there must be kirtan. So the two go on. So there's also some time where we may not audibly chant the holy names, but we simply listen. But that's also a function of kirtan. Kirtaniya sadahari, the holy names and the glories of Krishna should always be chanted. Chanting is not simply a matter of the lips and tongue. Just please turn a little bit. The back should not be toward Krishna. Side can be. The actions of the lip and tongue are, of course, essential because we have to chant with the lip, tongue, lungs, sound box. All these different facilities are awarded for chanting the holy names. People think that the body is meant for sense gratification, is meant for the glorification of Krishna. But the essential factor is not the lips, the tongue. All these are required to chant the holy name clearly. Some mumbling, that is not chanting the holy name. But the most important factor is the consciousness in which we chant. The holy name is purifying, the first effect in the Harinam Yajna, the seven tongues of the fire of the Harinam Yajna. The first effect of that is that the holy name cleans the heart. Chito Darpana Marjanam. So the holy name himself is purifying, but even how the purifying effect will be concentrated if we chant in a manner that we desire to be purified. So Shravan and Kirtan, these two are essential, these have to go on. Shravan means hearing about Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, the instructions of Krishna, who we are in relation to Krishna, and how to approach Krishna. So how are we to approach Krishna in a mood of servitude? Ai nandatanaja kinkaram. I am your servant. Krishna, I am your servant. Please deliver me from this material world. So by hearing, we can understand who is Krishna and how we should approach him. Otherwise, if we do not hear about these topics in all detail, then we may misconstrue the instructions about the holy name. Haryan nama, haryan nama, haryan nama, eva kevalam, kalau nasteva, 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 gatiran yata. There's nothing else, no other way in Kali Yuga to attain this supreme destination than chanting of the holy names. And chanting of the holy names, there is no consideration of time, place, or circumstance. It's kayate, shuete, jata, tata, namaloi, desha kalaniyam nahi, sarva siddhi hoi. There is no, so one may be eating and chant the holy names also. You can't do that in this yoga. One pop something in the fire, pop something in my mouth, it's not allowed. Nor can you do it lying down. You're feeling tired and do our swahas lying down. It's not allowed. But for chanting the holy names in all circumstances, that is allowed and encouraged. Of course, we generally, when chanting our prescribed rounds, we don't lie down to do that. But when we lie down, we can and should also, when we should lie down to take rest also, then that time we may and should also chant the holy name. So there are no rules considering the chanting the holy name, but there are considerations of offenses. So these teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been much misunderstood and misapplied in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially where, because there has been a lack of teaching about the principles of Shuddhanam Bhajam, which means the worship or the method of chanting the holy names in purity, the method of worshipping by which the holy names by which we can come to the fully pure platform. there's been lack of awareness of this, and therefore it's been mispreached that it doesn't matter what you do, you just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. But it does matter what we do, and it matters what our approach to the holy name is. How do we approach Krishna? When we chant Hare Krishna, what do we understand? We're calling out to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. That is the basic understanding of the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. But who is Krishna? How is he supreme? What is our relationship to him? How does he want us to serve him? To understand all this, we have to regularly hear about Krishna. So, when it is stated, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kirtaniya Sadaharihi, this means that we should chant the holy names of Krishna and hear about Krishna. Shravan and Kirtan are inseparable. If we do not place importance on hearing and only on chanting, then offenses are certain to come, because we, as conditioned souls, we have many misconceptions. Our understanding of Krishna is very little, and we approach everything with the attitude, Ishvaro hamaham bhogi, I am the controller of this world, I am the enjoyer of this world. So even when we come to Krishna consciousness, we may have that attitude. That needs to be removed by hearing regularly that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, I am his servant. Otherwise, we may attempt to become the enjoyer of the holy name. What a nice, that was a really good kirtan. I really liked it. This singer is so good. He's got a beautiful voice. So a beautiful voice, that is very nice to offer to Krishna. But if we offer it to the world for others to glorify me, then that is not actually kirtan. So, what is the attitude in chanting that we should understand? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, following his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, generally when he would give what has come to be known as first initiation or Harinam initiation, he would usually have one of his disciples speak on the 10 offenses against the holy name, which, if incurred, Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabuta Napai Krishna Pade Premada, obstruct the development, the natural development that comes from chanting the holy name, of development up to the level of prema bhakti, prema bhakti jaha hoite, obhidha vinasa jati, from Srila Prabhupada, from the pure devotees, prema bhakti, they're distributing it. They destroy ignorance by speaking. Manovya Sangam Uktibi Chindana. Or Sanda Evasya Chindanti Manovya Sangam Uktibi. The avidya, the material attachments, are destroyed by their the devotees cut this by their words. So, Srila Prabhupada would generally have the discussion of the 10 offenses against the holy names. The first of which is to blaspheme devotees who dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name all over the world. So sadhu is a general term, generally understood to be one who follows sadhacha, that's the broadest meaning of the term sadhu, who follows the Vedic directions. The most precise definition of sadhu is pure devotee of Krishna. Sadhunam hridayam tvaham, sadhunam, what is that? Sadhubir, no, I'm not. Sadhunam hridayam tvaham, sadhubir, what is that verse? Everyone should know this. I don't know. Sadhunam hridayam tvaham, sadhubir, hridayam mahyam. Madanyatena janandhi, naham tebhyo maradhati. Krishna says that the sadhus, they are my heart, and I am their heart. They know nothing but me, I know nothing but them. So this is the full definition of the term sadhu. Devotee of Krishna, not just someone wandering around with some red clothes and a beard. A pure devotee of Krishna. And especially Krishna says, those are most dear to me who preach my glories, to preach Bhagavad Gita among the devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared this. Jadi Ute Boisha Aparad, this. Just like a Matahati. If there's Vaishnava Parad, an offense to a devotee, that is like a mad elephant. They're very dangerous. Even now, as long as there are elephants in the world, they can be very dangerous. People don't like to purchase property in areas where there are wild elephants roaming. Of course you don't get them here, I'm saying in India. If it's known that there are elephants roaming in that area, people will, they may destroy the garden and they may kill you also if they're in a bad mood. So all your crops may be destroyed by wild elephants and you may lose your life also. It's very dangerous, isn't it? So we have to keep far away from Vaishnava Parad. I guess I should speak briefly, otherwise, once I get going, go on for quite some time. But this is the nature of Vaishnava Parad. This is also sometimes misconstrued to consider that critical thinking, discriminatory thinking should be suspended. We see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught four essential principles through four devotees. Sanatana Goswami was he didn't teach humility exactly by giving classes about it, but he was the very personification of humility. Harirash Thakur taught tolerance in the sense that he was put through all difficulties and he wasn't disturbed. Ramananda Rai taught the principle of how a devotee can completely vanquish the pushings of material desire, even up to the point of full freedom from sexual desire. Ramananda Rai, he showed that principle. And Damodar Pandit, he exemplified the principle of proper criticism. He even criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, well, that's a bit too much. But he would regularly do so. Sometime, at some point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he sent him away. Of course, we should not think that Damodar is an offender. So, Krishna consciousness, vairagya vidya, is knowledge. Detachment from this world and knowledge. These are the two principles on which bhakti, through which bhakti is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. So this vidya, that means to discriminate between material and spiritual, between what is pleasing to Krishna, what is not pleasing to Krishna. What should be done, what should not be done. So it is a great art to maintain one's intelligence alive and at the same time one should not blaspheme sadhus. This word ninda, that covers a wide, within English we have criticism and blasphemy, and they're both, criticism is a mild term and blasphemy is an extreme term. They're both covered by the term ninda. So the attitude of fault finding, that should not be there, but at the same time, one's discriminatory intelligence should be alive. Otherwise, again, just like one may take advantage of, or just chant the holy names, then you can do, just chant, that's all you need to do. Then you don't need to follow anything else. This is a misunderstanding of the principle that Haran Nama Eva Kivala, the holy name is the only way in Kali Yuga. And then, and similarly, a misunderstanding of the principle of not offending Vaishnavas is that you don't say, or see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil if someone is a sadhu. But sometimes it is necessary also in a non-envious manner to speak about various discrepancies that may take place within Vaishnava society, or even if one considers oneself too junior or unqualified to speak, at least one should retain one's discriminatory faculty. Just to give an example, many years ago, when I was based in Bangladesh, I heard something about the ecstasies going on in London, in Bhaktivedanta Manor. So I wrote, in those days, writing means you write by hand, put it in an envelope, and in Bangladesh, hope that it reaches the destination. It did, and I got a reply. I wrote asking, what's going on over there? We hear about ecstasies and the guru falling off the Vyasasan in ecstasy. And I got a reply from my godbrother, who is in London, that yes, very ecstatic kirtans and describing some of the symptoms. I was in Bangladesh and I immediately recognized that this is similar to the kind of false ecstasy that I see all around me in the villages of Bangladesh. That people are chanting Hare Krishna and appear to be overcome by emotion, but then the next thing you'll see them chewing tobacco, smoking bidi, eating fish, and all these things. By which we can understand that The ecstasy is... it's not coming from pure chanting of the holy name, but it is a mimicry or a mockery of the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. So many devotees at that time, even though they were mostly disciples of Srila Prabhupada at that time, this is going back to the maybe around 1980, they did not have the discrimination to understand that even though the devotee who was leading all this, he was a sadhu, he was highly respected, but he was not on the proper standard of devotional service. And because of this, because no one wanted to point that out, then this nonsense went on for quite some time. So, that's just an example. There may be many of how one should not blaspheme devotees, but this does not mean that one should suspend one's discriminatory intelligence based on knowledge received from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The second offense is to equate the name of Vishnu with that of various demigods. And in the modern age, not only demigods, but there are also bogus incarnations. So that it's very common in India that we hear of Sai Ram, Sai meaning Shirdi Sai Baba, and sometimes Sai Krishna, and due to impersonalism, people think that, well, all the gods are the same and you can choose whichever god you like. And if 330 million, Tetuish Koti, 330 million are not enough, well, we can make up a few also and mix them all up. So we get Sai Ram, thinking that Sai Shirdi Sai Baba or whatever, the other Sai Baba, that is, he is God. There was Ram, there was Krishna, and then there was Gadadhar Chatterjee, Ramakrishna. So this is extremely offensive. But even to think that, to not understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Arshabhritta, and that all others are his servants, and to think that we can chant the names of demigods and it's all the same as chanting the name of Vishnu, this is all misunderstanding that blocks our advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is offensive. I remember the first time I had experience of this, I was in a temple in Rangoon, in Burma, and there was nice kirtan going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. And this dholak, and going on, nice, enthusiastic Hare Krishna kirtan, and then all of a sudden, it changed to Kali kirtan, and the kirtan didn't stop, it was a continuous flow. And with the same enthusiasm, I don't know what it was, something about Kali, Mata, and all this. So people think, well, it's all the same. You can chant any name you like, and ultimately everything is simply a manifestation of that which has no name. This is the Mayavad underlying this idea that all the gods are the same. No, one has to understand. Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme controller is Krishna. All others are his servants. The demigods are great personalities. They're also servants of Krishna. To think otherwise is offensive to Krishna. We may think, well, that's being very respectful, but to properly respect someone, we have to properly know their position. If in the presence of the Prime Minister there are other ministers present and we address them all as Prime Minister, that's meaningless. Or if we turn to the Home Minister and say, "Oh, you are the greatest of all. You are supreme in the government." It's embarrassing actually to the Home Minister. He may have a desire like you. I'm sure they probably all have a desire like that. But it's a breach of protocol. And if one does so, one should, in a public assembly, or in the House of Commons, if one addresses even the number two in the government, here is the Chancellor of the Exchequer. So if you address him as the Prime Minister, it may be a slip of the tongue, but if one goes on, then one would probably be expelled from the Commons for perpetuating a serious breach of protocol, or in the presence of the... Anyway, that's a good enough example. So one should know clearly that Krishna is supreme. And for this, again, we have to hear regularly. So kirtan, we're chanting Hare Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not one of many gods. So this should be understood very clearly. Then Guru Ravagya. To neglect the Guru, to think of him as an ordinary person, to disobey his order. The benefit that comes from accepting the Guru as good as God, and the detriment of not doing so, of treating neglectfully, is recorded in Shastra. In Chaitanya Charitamrita is the example. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted Diksha Guru, and also he treated others as Guru. Krishna himself treats others as Guru. He treats Bhishma as his guru, Drona as his guru, Yudhishthira being senior to him, he treats respectfully. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are the examples of two disciples of one guru. One was offensive to him, Ramachandra Puri was offensive to Ishvara Puri. To Madhavendra Puri. And Ishvara Puri was served with great humility and understanding the heart's desire of Madhavendra Puri. So they both were disciples, but they got very different results. Ramachandra Puri even though he was the disciple of such a great devotee as Madhavendra Puri, he became cut off from bhakti because of his offensive attitude. And Ishvara Puri became such a great devotee by the blessings of Madhavendra Puri that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who is no one's guru, he is the guru of everyone, but he accepted Ishwarpuri as his guru. The fourth offense in the chanting of the holy names is to, again, a ninda, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, Shruti, Smriti. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatra, Vithin, Vina, Aikanti, Kihara, Bhakti, Upathi, Eva, Kalpati. If one attempts to perform devotional service without taking direction from the various Vedic literatures, that will not be bhakti. That will simply be a disturbance, because it may look like bhakti, but if it's not strictly according to the shastras, then it will be, people will think this is bhakti, but it won't be. So again, from shastra we understand who is Krishna, who is supreme, why we are to worship Krishna exclusively, how to do so, with what are the techniques, what is the attitude in doing so. So all this is to be understood from shastra. Shastra is to be understood from guru and gurus, various gurus, those who guide us, those who are senior to us. So to blaspheme the Vedic literature means to directly blaspheme by saying, well, we don't accept what that says. Or there is a subtle blasphemy also by misinterpreting the shastric injunctions, or by simply not following them. We may know them and not follow, and that's also an offense to shastra. If knowing, but we just decide, well, I don't want to follow. So this is also offensive. So this means that following the orders of the guru, following the shastra, this means that along with chanting the holy names, we have many other procedures to follow based on the principle anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajana. Everything favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and everything that obstructs advancement in Krishna consciousness should be given up. Then, to consider that the holy name is just something someone made up, or the glories of the holy name are just something someone made up. That the holy name is not really a holy name, it's just some ordinary sound, and people, you can chant Hare Krishna or you can chant any sound. The main thing is to have meditation, concentration. Some people say this. If you like, you chant Hare Krishna. If you want, you can chant Coca-Cola or whatever you like. And it's not the name doesn't have particular potency, but because you imagine it to have, therefore it has. These are some of the impersonalistic, demoniac interpretations by persons who have no faith in the holy name and who are so envious of Krishna that they do not want anyone else to have faith in the holy name. And if they have faith in the... if other people have faith in the holy name, they come up with such explanations to break the faith of people in the holy name. So we should understand Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bhinadvam Nama Namina. This name of Krishna is Krishna. It's Chintamani, is the spiritual wish fulfilling. By chanting the name of Krishna, everything becomes spiritualized. This is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the very form of consciousness and juicy, rasa, juicy, tasty, tasteful, ex- experiences in bhakti. The holy name is perfect and complete, pure. The holy name is always beyond the influences of this material world. The holy name is Krishna. So this should be understood as a holy name. It's not simply that something that someone made up as a meditation technique, or someone made up stories of Krishna to help people become religious, and that way they become good. So many wrong ideas are out there. Avoid them. Keep away. Understand Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, from the Vaishnavas. To put some interpretation, tathāta vādo, to interpret the name of Krishna in a non-devotional manner, incorrect manner, to ascribe some meaning to the name of Krishna, some wrong understanding. So the names of Krishna, there are so many names. Vishnu Sahasranama, Gopala Sahasranama, unlimited names. Krishna has unlimited names. And they all cast some, they're all describe different qualities. So we can, different qualities and characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we can, from different perspectives, appreciate Krishna. So if he is addressed as Ishvara, we understand this means he is the Supreme Controller, full of all opulences. If he is addressed as Madhava, means he is appears in the Madhu dynasty. That he, well, there are several meanings. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. I was going to speak on that today, maybe later today. So these different names, they have different transcendental meanings, but if we want to ascribe some non-devotional meaning, to screw out some wrong understanding, that is offensive. Krishna means black. Black means unknown. Krishna is unknown. This is Mayavadi interpretation. So that is offensive. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, Ek Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papa Koi, all sins are destroyed. But if we think that, very good, so let me perform sinful activities and then chant Hare Krishna. Such a mentality is extremely offensive. Devotee is not a sinful person. Devotee is not a person who cultivates sinful desires. A devotee is the topmost ideal person, pure in mind, that means in thought, word and deed. A devotee is not sinful. And he doesn't have the mentality that, well, we're chanting Hare Krishna, so we can do whatever we like. Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Let me do whatever I like and I'll chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is very merciful. Such a mentality is very offensive. To think that chanting Hare Krishna is just like people perform yajnas for getting free from negative astrological influences, or you chant Hare Krishna and then your business will improve. Such a mentality, to think like this is offensive. That was approximately, when was this, 1976, toward the end of Srila Prabhupada's Manifest Pastimes, the editors of Back to Godhead had started to feature at the front of the magazine testimonials from persons in secular life of the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, it was all devotees, but they gave their kami names, and just like there was Robert Grant and printing company executive, that means Rameshwar, he was the head of the BBT. And they dressed him in a suit and tie and all this kind of thing. And gave some statement that I'm always under a lot of pressure, but when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel relief from stress. And so all mundane testimonials with the idea was that to encourage people to chant Hare Krishna. Oh, he's a so-and-so, housewife. With the kids running, I don't know exactly, I'm just making this up, but you get the idea. With the kids running around wild all the time, it's difficult for me to have any meditation, but I can chant Hare Krishna and know that God is blessing me, or something like this. So, of course, it is true that by chanting Hare Krishna, one gets peace of mind. By chanting of Hare Krishna is beneficial in all ways, but Srila Prabhupada said we should not do this. He said we should teach the public that chanting Hare Krishna is for development of love of Krishna. So it's always tempting within Vaishnav society to try to attract people to Krishna by some material means, because they're interested in material things. So sponsor a kalas and you'll get all material benefits. It's easy. Then we don't have to preach to people. Well, these pious people may accept that. But that is, to promote this is offensive to the holy name, to say that, but chant Hare Krishna, or that's something like holding a yajna. Actually, the yajna is better. You see, it's so elaborate. We'll perform a yajna, and that will bring in world peace. There are so many yajnas for world peace going on, organized by different Hindu groups. And the fighting goes on. But to think that the holy name is just, it's something like that. Going on pilgrimage, following some vows of fasting. So these are all different things you can do to get some pious merit. And you can also chant Hare Krishna. That's also good. Probably fasting is better, it's more extreme, there's more sacrifice in doing that. But to think so is to equate the chanting of the holy names with mundane pious activities is offensive to the holy name. To instruct faithless persons in the glories of the holy name is also offensive. We can ask anyone to chant Hare Krishna, but to instruct persons who are faithless, who are not willing to be instructed in understanding how the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, how chanting the holy name of Krishna invokes the pure love of Krishna that is dormant within everyone's consciousness, this should not be explained to faithless persons who will simply blaspheme and protest if we attempt to explain to them all these points. We can ask anyone to chant Hare Krishna. That is not offensive. That is desirable. But the glories of the holy name should only be explained to persons who are willing to submissively hear those glories. The tenth offense in chanting of the holy names is to maintain material attachments. To think in terms of I, me, and mine. So we have material attachments, and we are trying to become free of those attachments and become attached to Krishna. And chanting of the holy names affects that. By the grace of Krishna, Krishna, he becomes very pleased when devotees sincerely chant his holy names, and thus the devotee becomes purified. But if, along with formal practice of chanting the holy names, one deliberately maintains a mundane identity or does not try to become free from that, then such chanting is offensive. So that means we shouldn't want the British Olympic team to win the medals. We shouldn't be elated if a Briton, two or three of them, happen to win some gold medals. We shouldn't think, oh, this is very good. Or India, we shouldn't think, if India happens to win any medals, we think, oh, this is very good. We shouldn't identify with the body that we are presently incarcerated in. We should identify with Krishna and his devotees and not maintain mundane attachments. In enumerating and discussing the holy names and the offenses against them, we should also be especially attentive to not be inattentive while chanting. That means we have to chant the holy name not simply as an exercise, that now I have to chant, I have to get through these. It's a daily ritual that I have to go through. But one should be tuned in. One should be chanting not only with the lips, but with the full consciousness. Otherwise, if we don't, that's also offensive. That is our unfortunate tendency. That we do not have strong attachment to the holy name of Krishna. But that will develop if we attempt to chant his names in purity, being free from these ten offenses, and if we specifically try to be tuned in, not turned off, when we chant the holy names. The lips and tongue are moving, but the mind is somewhere else. This tendency should be curbed if we are to chant the holy names in purity. So, all these points are to be understood by hearing regularly from devotees. The hearing process also includes, very importantly in the modern age, this includes studying Srila Prabhupada's books. One has to execute devotional service under the guidance of devotees. Especially, one has to accept the guru initiation, which is taking place today. The meaning of Diksha is Divyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat Pura Papasya Sangshayam. What is that? Tasmat Diksha Iti Protam Deshikais Tatra Kovidai. Diksha is described by learned persons as the process by which transcendental knowledge is imparted and one is freed from all previously committed sins. It's not that by accepting initiation one can go on sinning. So it's the process by which transcendental knowledge is imparted which explains why Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that initiation is only a formality. And you say, well, initiation is a formality, then why bother? What do you need initiation for? It's only a formality. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Nama Eva Kevala. So this means, when Srila Prabhupada says that initiation is a formality, it means the ceremony is a formality for persons who have already committed themselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. It formalizes that which is already going on. So when devotees are accepting initiation, but prior to that we see that the devotees are actually committed and serious in Krishna consciousness, then only initiation is warranted. It formalizes the process which is already going on. The diksha begins, as Srila Prabhupada also said, with the decision to surrender to Krishna. So the ceremony formalizes that. But at the same time, the ceremony is essential, and the act of committing oneself to be a servant of 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 Krishna within the Guru Parampara. That is a formal commitment. And unless and until that formal commitment is made, the commitment is not complete. Then one can go out of that. Of course, sometimes people, even after accepting formal initiation, they also renege. But that's why we test for some time. And we should understand that having formally accepted initiation, that one should adhere very seriously to one's initiation vows. Without accepting initiation, according to Shastra, one is simply an animal. One is not a proper human being. We get birth from the parents, but the physical parents, they give birth. But we are also to receive another birth from the Guru and Shastra. So these are the father and mother figuratively in the second birth, which takes place by initiation. Initiation, transformation from being simply another conditioned soul who eats, sleeps, mates and defends into one who has taken the commitment that in this life I have to do whatever is required to become fully Krishna conscious. So it's in one sense the ceremony is a formality, but in another sense it's essential. So that's one of the aspects of transcendental knowledge, to understand that our general way of thinking is imperfect and incomplete. See, this seems to be contradictory, doesn't it? It's a formality, but it's essential. Is that contradictory? Seems like that, but if one understands from the perspective of spiritual knowledge, one can understand how both these statements are simultaneously applicable or valid. So to learn, this is Diksha, is to approach a guru. Tasmat gurum prapadyaita jignyasa shreya uttamam. One should approach a guru and inquire about the highest auspiciousness, the highest beneficial activity. So for this purpose, one should approach a guru. Of course, they may themselves, generally those who are proper to approach as gurus, that is their quality, that they speak about the highest benefit. So one may not even without inquiring, just like a waterfall is flowing, so water is available from there, even without requesting. So the important point here is that one should learn it's from the gurus. It's not simply a matter of getting blessings. So many times people come to me asking for blessings. But learn something, take some instruction. This, we approach a guru for the sake of taking instructions by which we can become attached to Krishna, fully absorbed in love of Krishna. And as much as we advance in Krishna consciousness, then we become detached from the enjoyment of this material world. So, this divyam jnanam, the process by which transcendental knowledge is imparted, and all previously committed sins are destroyed. But one should not think, I'm initiated, so it doesn't matter. Let me do what I like. That is a misunderstanding. So one has to learn from Guru within our Krishna consciousness movement at the present time. There is it's an unusual situation in the history of Vaishnavism, in as much as there is an international organization with its rules, and there are also various devotees who are acting as gurus within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, most of whom do not stay in one place very much or very long, some of whom have many disciples scattered in different parts of the world. Naturally, by the very nature of being persons, they all have different, somewhat different attitudes in Krishna consciousness, understanding, approaches to Krishna consciousness. Some aspects they may emphasize more than others. So, within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and most people come to Krishna consciousness actually not directly through the preaching or contact with or to training by those who are giving initiation, but they come in contact with devotees and are trained by devotees. Other than in most cases, they are trained, brought in and trained and guided by devotees who are not their initiating guru. So, in many ways, it would be much easier if each guru had their own ashrams and their own movements. And it would be easier in the sense that different emphases and different understandings, which can cause misunderstanding and conflict, that doesn't occur. But then, of course, we won't have the united strength to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, we're all here in this Krishna conscious movement. Due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are all meant to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. We're all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. There's this Ritvik movement which says that everyone should be only a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Well, you all are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Just like we're all disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're all disciples of Rupa Goswami. By the parampara system. We're disciples, but in the parampara system, those who are disciples of Rupa Goswami, they gave initiation, and it's been going on like this generation after generation. So in our Krishna conscious movement, of whom the founder Acharya is His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the qualification to be a member of this movement is to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada, to accept His instructions. And the qualification of Guru is one who follows Srila Prabhupada very closely, who believes Guru Mukha Padma Varka Chitete Kriya Aika Arna Kriya Mayasha, who lives according to this principle that whatever Srila Prabhupada has said, we make it one with our heart and not desire anything else. So with that understanding, we can all remain united in Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. There may be many initiating gurus, and the approach may be somewhat different, but we should all adhere to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, which means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has manifested his desires in the modern age through Srila Prabhupada. So there many, many things could be said. Guru Tattva is very deep. What it means to, initiation means Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atta Shamarpa. Initiation means full surrender of oneself. Che Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atta Sham. And at that time, Krishna accepts the devotee to be as good as himself. He accepts him, and the devotee is accepted into the family of Krishna. So, many things could be said about this. I'm not going to say more now. There was an idea to have the whole program finished by 9:30. I thought that was overly ambitious. But now, we can have the giving of names. Neck beads? Yeah, neck beads. And then after that, there'll be Hare Krishna. I should thank the devotees who are serving Sri Sri Radhana Nirishwara, Sri Sri Ramita, Jagannath Subhadra Valadi. All these years, there's a core of devotees who have dedicated their lives in service here. It's not easy to serve Krishna within this anywhere in this material world. Still, some places are more difficult than others, and central London is definitely a very challenging place to serve, even to even just to live as a, even not as a devotee, it's a difficult place to live. What to speak of? If you're just trying to be a normal, decent citizen, whatever that means, it's not so easy. And what to speak of taking up the mission to turn the tide away from the sinful life so that everyone becomes Krishna conscious. It's an intense situation. Carrying on in the tradition of Berry Place, this Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara's devotees, they live very close with Radha Nandan Ishwara in crowded conditions. It's intense, difficult, stressful for those who are not getting the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara. It's not possible to continue year after year. I was not exactly here, in Berry Place many years ago, and one devotee who was there, he said to me once, that, why is this temple so blissful? And he said, it's because of the temple president. And he said, the temple president is Sri Sri Radha Ladishwara. So we thank Jai Nithai Prabhu, number 23, doing twice as well as the average 22 others, being in the post double the time of the average predecessor, and is presiding over the service to Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara on behalf of Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara, the actual temple president, and to all others who have stuck it out. I didn't. I ran away. Krishna kicked me out. But I just heard from everyone who's, you must have all, anyone who's been living in ISKCON Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara Soho Street Temple for any time more than probably 2 or 3 weeks must have heard about Berry Place, the very delicious Krishna conscious atmosphere that was there. So there was a very strong bond between all the devotees, a very strong feeling that we're all here to serve Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwara. The bliss was the reciprocation in bhakti to Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwara. So, yeah, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I can thank you all. I couldn't imagine in those days of being as a young brahmachari, young in physical and mental age, and young in Krishna consciousness, that I would at some point be sitting before Sri Sri Radha Nandan Ishwara and on their behalf and on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, initiating others into their service. We find that in the old biographies, just like of Rasikananda, that when Guru awards initiation, it said he offers them into the service of the deity who is presiding there. So here it's we're offering the devotees into the service of Radha Nandanishwara, Jagannath Subhadra, Gonichai, and of course Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. So that point of Ritvikism again is to say, well, you know, that who's qualified to initiate? I'm not qualified to initiate, but I initiate you on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. And every guru will say that. No guru will say, I am great and I am all in all and lucky for you, you became my disciple. But he'll always say, I'm initiating on behalf of my guru and all the previous acharyas. So, I don't know what all this Ritvik controversy is about, actually, because every guru will think like that. If he doesn't think like that, he's not a guru. The difference between this initiation and the so-called Ritvik initiation is that the guru, those who accept the role on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, is that they accept to take responsibility to guide the devotees. It's not just walk in, throw some ghee in the fire, take some dakshina and hari bol, good luck. It's not like that. You have to be involved. So here I am the formal initiating guru. You have your gurus, the devotees here especially, who are guiding you. So please continue to do so. And in this way, please, Srila Prabhupada, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Radha Nandanisha, Jagannath Subhadra, Baladev. So, first you should offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, I suppose. You'll have to do it from there. You can exit and go out and through. It's probably all crammed tight through there. Anyway, I'm not your guru for this. You have to find your own way how to make your way through the crowds. Don't step over anyone. Then you can negotiate your way through and offer obeisance to the deities, and then you can come before your initiating guru and also offer obeisance. Okay, very good. You should use your own intelligence also. Take instruction from the guru and use your intelligence how to execute it. So, how to get through and offer obeisance as you manage to do it. There will be more difficult tests.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you.
I know, sister. I guess you can sit right there. Come a little closer, though. Please tell me what the four regulated principles are.
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
And how many rounds to be chanted?
16.
Minimum 16 rounds. So this is the formality.
Yes.
So your name will be. What's it going to be? Padmanabha Nityananda. Krishna are written there, but they're all upside down. In temples in South India, it's common to go without, for the men to go without a covering on their chest at all, but that's not our standard.
That's the trick for the top of your shoulders.
Where the line is, that should be on the top. You see, there's a line that the letters hang down from the line. Unlike in English where they stand on top of the line, they hang down from the line. So the line should be on top. So please tell me what are the four regulated principles.
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
And how many rounds to chant?
A minimum of 16 rounds a day.
So your name will be? Krishna Prishta Das. So, you can go on with the yajna. I vowed to Srila Prabhupada to chant 16 rounds a day, and not doing so well today, so far. So, I'm going to come up on the roof and work on that. You can do the yajna. Oh, they don't have garlands. They should all have garlands.
Yeah, some garlands.
They have garlands. I'm just going to get these ones.
Yeah. Okay. These are got these posters. Okay, we'll get organized a bit. Lots of open up. We'll just use that.
I'll just go behind you.
Yeah.
Very good.
We have an age.
It's a little.
Okay, one for Terry Moran Matiji. She's in Soviet. We have three devotees, so finishing off the ritual meeting site, diksha initiation by offering greens and banana into the fire, finishing off the diksha initiation. But I'm going to be who was initiated by His Grace Keshe Bhavati Maharaj. And back to your first name, where is it? Amrit Nandan was initiated by Bhakti, Bhakti began Maharaj, and Jai Murari by David Richardson. Is Jai Murari there? So perhaps you should answer. Perhaps if you could, Baba Mitri, you could come a bit closer. And just place a banana with some grains. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to do first thing we'll do Achman. And we're going to do Achman to the traditional way that Srila Prabhupada would do in diksha initiation. So I'll ask you to chant this mantra. First of all, this mantra you hopefully most of you have heard of. Om Apivitro, Apivitro Va. I'll just read a translation so you can meditate on its meaning. Either pure or impure, or having passed through all conditions of material life, if one can remember the lotus-eyed Krishna, he becomes externally and internally clean. So now just repeat after me, each word. Om Apavitra Apavitrova Samavastam Atopiva Kaksham Sha Vayanta Vayantaya Sujihi. So now just take the spoon in your left hand and place three drops in your right hand and try and hold the mudra like this, the shaking them like this, and place three drops in the palm of your right hand. Hold it. And then when I indicate to sip the water, you should sip the water from here. With the drama on here, okay? So just look it into the water. Now chant Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu. Okay, so now this hand is considered to be unclean because it's touched your mouth. So keep the hand where it is. Take the spoon in the left hand again. And place drops of water in your hand and just drop it to the side. So your hand's clean again. We'll go for the same procedure two more times. Just chanting. Om Apavitra Apavitra Va Savavastam Tatopiva Vare Indrikaksham Sa Vayantaraha Now again, take three drops and put it in your right hand. And chant, looking into the water, chant Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. So again, take your hands contaminated again. So take water in your left hand and just purify. And just let it drop to the floor. Om Apavitra Apavitra Va Chavastam Satopiva Va Smare Indrikaksham Sa Bhayabhayam Taraha Sujihi. So now again, put three drops in your right hand. Looking into the water. Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu.
And then just clean that hand again as well, three times. Represents Vishnu is Vishnu. So the mudra for offering the grains, when you pick up the grains, it's just like this. It's two fingers here, it's not two fingers. And when you offer the grains, it's not like that. Just run like this. Say swaha, you offer, okay?
now what we'll do, as we do with the Pushpanjali prayers, those who've been here in the morning, what we'll do is we'll repeat each word after I say each word, and then we'll offer oblations into the fire. We'll be offering the Mangalacharan prayers, which most of you are familiar with, and we'll say Swaha three times on each prayer. So just repeat as I repeat, as I speak. Obeisances, not being oblations to the spiritual master. So those who have just taken picture initiation, you follow after me and you chant the Pranam mantras to Bhaktivin Kash Maharaj. And those else who are here who have also just taken initiation, you will chant names of your respective picture guru. Okay? So those who have taken initiation today, you follow me, and others chant the name of your respective spiritual master. Shri Vashvanadev, 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 Shri Vashvanadev Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Dhyane Prabhu Namaha Swaha 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 Matujwala Premadhyā Chirupanuga Vakira Chirunga Haruna Shakti Vitrahaya Namaskute Swaha 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 Namaste Gaura Rani Kimutai Siddhanta Vanta Hari Swaha 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 Om Namo Gaura Yashodaya Sakshat Vairagya Mutaye Vipalamba Sambhore Patambhojaya Namaha Swaha 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 Om Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namine Purushakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Purayate Swaha Sajana, Vira, Vaishnava, Shavu